Welcome, everybody. Episode 5 of Can I Get a Podcast? Jeffrey Cooperstein alongside Chris Gross in the second weekend of July, where free agency has been in full swing. And Chris, we basically know what the landscape of the NBA looks like now for the next year in the first week of free agency.
Yeah, I didn't think things were going to be happening near this quickly. LeBron made his decision on like the second. Well, I guess technically it was the first day.
First day, yeah, 7 p.m. on July 1st.
He ended up making his decision on the first day, which I didn't think it was going to come that quick. We had the DeAndre Jordan news, which is important here locally, very quickly.
Yes, that was within the first 30 minutes. Mark Stein puts out the tweet that the Mavs and DeAndre, 1 year around the $24 million option that he declined. And I believe it ended up to be $22.9 million to give the Mavs about $5 million extra in cap room to do what they please with that.
Although that wasn't like super surprising.
Right, yeah.
The big surprising news that did take a couple days to happen was we didn't know where DeMarcus Cousins was going. And then basically, from all the reports out there, he didn't get any calls.
He got blackballed. No one gave him an offer. So at that point, he started calling teams, which I find is insane. I mean, top 15 player in the league has to call teams to get people to pick him up.
And you know what? Let's stick on that right now. We can talk about LeBron. We can talk about DeAndre coming up here in a couple minutes. But let's talk about Boogie Cousins. Is he a guy? Look, he gets a bad rap. So that considered, the injury, you're likely not going to have him back till December or January. But still, all those things, does that warrant no calls?
Yeah, I mean, he's a 25 a game, 12 rebound a game player. He's been that his whole career, multi-time All-Star. Everybody wants him on the team. He, before the injury, consensus best center in the league, I think.
I wonder if this was a little bit of people saying, we don't have a shot at him, so we're not going to try.
And that might be, and obviously people did have a shot at him, but after the fact, they figured that out.
So looking at it in hindsight, I wonder how many teams that would have known, if every team individually knew, I would be the only team calling Boogie. I mean, you'd get what? At least 20, 25 teams that call him, right?
At the very least, yes. And apparently the Mavericks were one of them that had a conversation with Boogie, but they elected to go for DeAndre Jordan instead.
And we talked about that on last week's podcast, why we both think that DeAndre fits better with the team here. But real quick on Boogie, is this good for the game?
I don't know if it's good for the game. I blame the rest of the NBA for this happening. Because Boogie was like, you know what? If I'm not going to get my money, I'm going to go to a place where I'm virtually guaranteed a championship.
Yeah.
And obviously, the Warriors are obviously the consensus favorite to win next year. Probably going to win it again. But someone described it well. Even though it's like a superhero movie, you know what the result's going to be, but you don't know how you're going to get there.
Yeah.
And I think that's how you have to watch the NBA the next couple of years.
And you know what? Here's the way I'm going to say it. As being a fan, I don't know if I like this move. But looking at it from the only two parties that matter, from the player side and the team side, it's a no-brainer. And
so for both sides.
Looking at it for both the Warriors and for DeMarcus Cousins, I can't blame them for that, because this is a move where either side gets presented with the option, they both take it.
The apple fell in the Warriors' hand. They weren't actively seeking out DeMarcus Cousins, I don't think. But when they figured out that no one was going after him,
right,
and that he would be willing to play for this small salary, why not?
I think it's bad for the league overall, just from a viewing standpoint, but I do not blame either side, because your job as a team is to win championships, and now in the day and age we live in the NBA, you are not even considered to be a great player in the league until you get your first ring. And so you've got to do everything you can to get a championship.
And this is the easiest way for him to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, the Warriors are this budding dynasty. Who wouldn't want to go play for them? And they just added another piece to their already unbeatable puzzle.
Yeah, any person, like any fan who's upset at that, is also a person who would, being given the option, if they
if it
hate
was their
job,
team.
Or yeah, that too, or just look at it from their own personal perspective. If you hate your job and another company calls you, better working conditions, less hours, you know, just translating it to, you know, better results, you take it without even thinking about it.
Without hesitation.
And so there's just some kind of weird standard when we look at it. When it comes to sports.
We hold athletes to a completely different standard than we hold ourselves. Yeah.
So that was the big shocking news. And I don't even remember. Did that come down? It had to have come down this week.
Yeah, that was, I want to say that was the third that came down.
Yeah, so that was the shocking news a couple days in. The unsurprising news that came very quickly was DeAndre Jordan. And let's talk about DeAndre Jordan right here. Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. We kind of talked about it when we did our podcast last week, looking before free agency. We pretty much knew he was going to be a Maverick. We find out he's coming on a one-year deal. And just kind of looking at it from all aspects, one-year deal, how he fits in, how he fills a need, what do you think of the DeAndre signing?
I have a lot of I love the signing. I love the player. He's going to be great for the Mavericks this year. The pick and roll with him, Luka, and Dennis, it's going to be so fun to watch.
Yeah.
The Mavericks are going to be a watchable team this year. The one-year contract, I have mixed feelings about, because the Mavericks have had this revolving door at center for as literally as long as I can remember being a Mavs fan. They've had a different center every 1 to 2 years.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think the one-year deal is beneficial to both parties because it incentivizes Jordan to play to the best of his abilities so he can go get a big contract next summer. But if it doesn't work out, then they can walk, no harm done. It was a one-year deal. He's off the books. And they can go at whoever they want again next summer.
Yeah, I think, like you said, I like it from both sides because you bring him in, you think this is one of your missing pieces. If it ends up not being that way, okay, you're good to go. But here's the other thing about DeAndre, and I'm still seeing it from people, whether it's on social media or whatever. People want to complain about his free throw shooting, which was an issue years ago. He has improved every year over the last 4 or 5 years.
He's improved, and talking to some of the Mavericks people that I've talked to, like reporters and a few coaches, he has a stroke, a free throw stroke, that it doesn't look bad. It just, for some reason or another, doesn't go in. So with the Mavs coaching, they think if they can get him to even 60% at the free throw line, he becomes a really good weapon. That increases his points per game by a couple points.
I think that is not going to be something you have to worry about. Obviously, he's not a guy you want to send to the line. But like you said, dude, for me, free throw shooting, it's like guys who can't do it, to me, it just shows they don't want to.
Exactly.
You don't have the want. You don't want to put in the time. Because that is something that you can work on. And so I think if he comes here and he wants to put in the time, he can make that work.
And I think free throw shooting is just as much mental as it is muscle memory and physical.
Yeah.
And if you have the right mentality, like, and you think it's going in, chances are it'll go in.
I think it's going to be interesting too what the response is going to be to DeAndre Jordan being introduced at his first home game.
I was talking about this with my dad earlier, kind of joking. I was like, I think in the first game, it'd be really funny if they go at center in his 12th season or whatever season he's in from Texas A&M, number 6, DeAndre Jordan, and the crowd just boos the crap out of him just to get it out of their system. And then they have that first pick and roll with Dennis. He goes up and throws a thunderous dunk down. And it's all over. The crowd loves him, and we get on with our lives. I think that's a possibility, but in all reality, I think he gets a standing ovation.
You know what? Sports is the ultimate, I don't even know how to say this. Forgiveness does not come any easier than in sports.
Oh, yes, absolutely not. You're so right.
I like your plan because, one, that's your payback. DeAndre deserves a little something for what he pulled back in 2015. You get a thunderous booing, but then, dude, water under the bridge for me, man.
Yep, like, it's over from there.
If you come in and you perform, look, here's the, and I think it says more about the state of the Mavericks franchise than about DeAndre Jordan, but dude, he's walking in like already in like top two or three centers that have played for this franchise.
Yes, it's him. It's Tyson Chandler,
yeah,
who was only here 2 years, two different times. And I'm not like a super great historian,
right?
But like Roy Tarpley, Eric Dampier,
yeah,
like come on. I mean, he's one of the two or three greatest centers to ever play for the Mavs.
And so when that happens, look, I think the Mavs fans are gonna love this guy. Jerseys are gonna sell. Maybe they'd sell more if you weren't pushing so many Doncic jerseys off the shelves. But yes, I think he deserves a little punishment for what he pulled back in 2015. But it's gonna be crazy. Like
it's gonna be so.
Looking
fun.
At what's gonna happen is if they're winning games, you know, he's grabbing 15 boards, whatever he's gonna do, and Mavs fans are cheering. It's going to be funny to think back and go, man, we never would have thought this would have happened for this guy back 3 years ago.
And now I was at the first game when the Clippers came.
Yeah.
When the Clippers came to visit the Mavericks after that whole fiasco last summer. And the booing that game was not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. He got booed every time he touched the ball, and the Mavericks killed the Clippers that game. They won by like 20.
Yeah.
But it was not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. So I don't know how it's going to go. I bet he gets a standing ovation. I would love to see him get booed. I just think it'd be justice, but
Mark Cuban was on the ESPN broadcast of the Summer League game a couple nights ago. He said he doesn't hold grudges. Mavs fans, time for you to let those grudges go. But as Jeffrey has suggested, walk in and boo that man like you have booed no one else before. Take what you do
Lamar
to Jose
Odom,
Batista.
Kiki Vandeweghe.
Yeah.
Jose Batista.
Multiply
it.
Yes. Yes. Give it to him once, and then let it go.
It's over.
All right, that is a little NBA offseason. But we got some baseball news. Slow season for the Rangers, but we do have a guy who's making history. A guy who is headed to his first All-Star game, which is kind of crazy to think about. But we're going to talk about the Ranger who is making this season something to watch. That's on the other side of the break. Right here, Can I Get a Podcast? That's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. Welcome back. Can I Get a Podcast? I'm Chris Gross. That's Jeffrey Cooperstein. All right, we had our NBA discussion. It's time to talk baseball. I know you're a baseball fan.
Love
I'm a baseball
it.
Fan. We got to talk baseball. So we were recording this podcast on Sunday night. And so the Rangers have already played today. And Shin Soo Chu was going for Rangers history in today's game. He had been on base 46 straight games, and man, it went down to the wire today.
It went down to the wire only because of a ridiculous Major League Baseball technicality.
Let's talk about that in just a minute. But Shin Soo Chu riding an 0-for-4, and there was a chance he wasn't even going to get an at-bat in the bottom of the ninth.
And then Adrian Beltre, of course, as Adrian Beltre does in the eighth, comes out with a single to extend the lineup a little bit, gives Chu just a chance to get up to
and
the plate.
And then you need a Ronald Guzman hit, a little blooper.
In the ninth.
That was close, man. Like, if he put a little more juice on
that
was an out. So the baseball gods working in Chu's favor. And then Chu comes up, or I guess in the top of the ninth. I don't know if I said the bottom of the ninth. In the top of the ninth. And he just gets a little dribbler to the third baseman
and
can't make the play.
And keep in mind, Chu has a bad quad right now.
Yeah.
So he can't run very fast. He is legging this out like it is his last play ever plays.
So he makes it to first. There it is. The on-base streak continues. Shin Soo Chu, now the Texas Rangers leader he holds the milestone for most consecutive games on base in Rangers history. Beats Julio Franco.
In a single season.
In a single season, yes. He is now at 47 games. So I just wanted to talk about this a little bit because Shin Soo Chu has been a guy who got a big contract a couple years ago and has not lived up to that. And he, I think, rightly has deserved some criticism over the years. But, man, for all the criticism he gets, we got to give him his due when it's worth it. And 47 game on base streak. Now, this is not a hitting streak. On base streak. Where does that rank for you, like in terms of history or milestones? How impressive do you think that is?
It's very impressive, and I think it would mean a lot more if the Rangers were good.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it's a very impressive milestone. That's 6 weeks straight mm-hmm. he's been on base yeah. in the game. Very impressive. Not as impressive as a hit streak or as a scoreless inning streak for a pitcher, but it's up there. It's really impressive.
You obviously don't put it anywhere like you said, like a hitting streak. Any kind of, like, I think single game feat either, like, and I don't want to say like a perfect game or a no hitter because that's so rare,
right?
But like a hitting for the cycle,
right? Right.
Or even like a 3 home run game. I think it's a little bit below that, but it's still something that's impressive. And Chu had at least one time during the streak where he was used as a pinch hitter, and so that even put it in doubt. And he was able to come through.
And he got on.
Yeah.
Back in 2014, when the Rangers signed Chu to that yeah. 7-year, $130 million contract, his big plus that the Rangers were looking for was that he was a leadoff hitter who got on base 40% of the time.
Yeah.
And obviously with his injuries and he just, you know, he hasn't produced for the Rangers. And this year he's finally, I would say he's lived up to the contract this year and he's an all-star.
Yeah. And so on a bad team, I don't know, and maybe this is for a dry time podcast, you have to have an all-star for every team. And so it was looking like, dude, it was looking like a month or two ago it was going to be Bartolo Colon. Which I was rooting for.
No, that would have been great. You know, Keone Kellis had a really, really yes. good year back at the bullpen, but so has like every other reliever in the American League.
And his, in save situations, if you only look at that, Kella probably deserves it. But outside of that, he's a little bit sketchy. So Shin-Soo Chu voted to All-Star game will be his first All-Star game, that he's attending. So great job by Chu, 47 games, man. I'd love to see him extend this,
That'd
make
be
it
great.
Something that's going to be even harder for another Ranger to get at some point. But as you said, Chu needed a couple lucky hits. He needed a legged out infield hit of his own to keep this base on streak. Because of what we have learned is maybe like the worst rule in Major League Baseball.
Possibly the stupidest rule I've ever heard of. I believe it was his first at bat? Either his first or his second.
I think it was his second.
Second at bat, he hits a ground ball to the first baseman. First baseman misplays it, goes into right field. He gets on base. It's an error. The error, apparently, as I found out today, does not count towards an on-base streak because he didn't get on himself or something like that.
Yeah.
He got on base. How does that not count? I need someone at Major League Baseball to explain this to me. I'm sorry. I don't get it.
Here's the thing. And I have heard Brian Kenny on Major League Baseball has been pimping for just eliminate the error altogether, which is interesting. And I don't really know how I feel about that. But it's not Chu's fault for the error. I don't know how being on base ever doesn't count as being on base. Like, I get how it doesn't count for a hit streak. You don't use an error to count for a hit streak.
Like you said, it's the, like, what if he were to hit a routine fly ball?
Yeah.
And they drop it. Can I get a podcast? I'm Jeffrey Cooperstein. That's Chris Gross. If he hits a routine fly ball to center field, the center yeah. fielder drops it and it's an error, that doesn't count?
Yeah.
Come on.
It's not
now.
His fault.
Give me a break.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand where the thinking came behind this. And I wonder if it's just like a technicality, because this is the only instance where it really applies. I can't think of another time where this would be such a controversy, where an error not giving you
a base,
not counting you on base. I don't really know. It seems very weird, and it seems like such a weird just rule, and I don't understand it. And actually, I think, dude, I want to say, who was the Philly who had his on-base streak ruined earlier this year? I want to say this
recall.
Happened on the same thing.
There was a similar thing a couple of years ago, kind of similar. Ryu Darvish took a no-hitter into the ninth inning. It was broken up with 8 2/3. And then Major League Baseball the next day came back and ruled that one of David Ortiz's errors was ruled a hit. So they retroactively took away the no-hitter before the no-hitter was actually given up. Imagine if Darvish actually did pitch that no-hitter. Yeah. And does Major League Baseball reverse that ruling and just take it away from him? Knowing the Rangers' luck, yes, they do. But
dude, I don't know. That's so weird. Major League Baseball does things so weird. So here I found this. It was Odubel Herrera.
Former Ranger great.
Let me skim through this here because he actually made it on base. Okay, so he reached first on a wild pitch by the pitcher, but that doesn't count towards the continuation of his on-base streak. So Odubel Herrera's streak ended at 45 games because of a wild pitch.
Because he struck out on the third strike and it went past his...
Yes.
Something like that.
That's
Which
is
just
weird.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't... We're not like... This isn't a hit streak.
It's an on-base streak.
Right. So,
he got on base. And it's self-explanatory.
It's weird because walks count, getting hit by pitch counts. Any way you get on base counts. I don't know. It was just super weird. And I'm glad he got that hit in the ninth. Because if not...
We would have came out guns blazing on Can I Get a Podcast.
Yeah, this would have been... Oh my gosh, like you didn't think you could get Rangers fans any more mad like than how the season is going just because how bad it is.
We'd be writing letters to Robert Manfred right now.
It would not be good. It would not be good. But congrats to Chu. Rangers,
awesome.
Ranger longest on base streak in Rangers history goes to
Shin-Soo Chu.
So that wraps up our Rangers discussion here on Can I Get a Podcast? And Jeffrey, it's our new way of closing out the show. We tried it last week. I got phenomenal feedback. Just everybody loved it. We're going to close out the show with the 24-second shot clock. Here's how it works for those of you that haven't listened to the pod before. You get 24 seconds, just like in basketball. You get a 24-second shot clock to say whatever you want to say. You can talk about anything. Doesn't have to be sports related. But when your 24 seconds are up, you got to stop talking. So... Jeffrey, I made you go first last time. I'm going to go first here today.
Go for it.
And it starts on Twitter. I believe it was Brett McMurphy that tweeted out. He was tweeting out today, Vegas odds to win all the conferences in college football. And I was seeing them, so I was scrolling through to find Big 12 because, in my opinion, this is TCU's best year, me being a TCU grad, to win the Big 12. I see TCU's not first. TCU's not second. Who's second? Texas! Texas is ahead of TCU. That's all the time I have. And I wish I had more. I thought I was going to be able to fit more.
I need to go on this tangent. Texas is a second, third, fourth favorite every single year. They could go 0-12 this year. They'd be the second favorite to win the Big 12 next year.
I saw they haven't had a 10-win season since 2009.
Yep, 2009. Colt McCoy.
And they are...
They're the
second,
brand.
They're destined, or I guess second best odds to win the Big 12.
They're going to be ranked to start the year.
I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
They're actually going to be good next year. They're going to fight for the Big 12 championship.
You know what?
Texas football is almost back, baby.
You know, there are times I joke about it, but I genuinely miss being a TCU fan from when they were in the Mountain West. Like, there are just so many annoying things about being in the Big 12. It's obnoxious. And Texas is one of them. Here's the other thing, too. And... Oh my gosh, like, I'm glad I'm doing the podcast with a Texas fan because, gosh, they have destroyed Texas over the last 4 years.
I'm a Texas fan. I am fully aware. Texas is probably the most annoying school in the United States of America, especially for Big 12 people, because even Texas mediocrity since the Longhorn Network, they're like 43-41. Yeah. They haven't done anything, and they still... run the Big 12 for better or worse, right?
They do, and it's the brand. The brand is strong down in Austin. I will say, I don't know how many teams have lost to Kansas over the past couple years, but Texas is one of them.
And I was rooting for Kansas like hell in that game.
Why?
Because I wanted Charlie Strong to get fired.
Oh,
that was the nail in his coffin.
Okay, so that was my 24-second shot clock. It turned into a little bit longer. So, Jeffrey, you are on the clock.
I have a few hobbies in life, and one of my big hobbies right now is Fortnite.
Okay.
I'm obsessed with Fortnite.
Yeah.
I play way more than I would love to admit. I'm not very good, so if you're good at Fortnite, add me on Xbox, TexasGator14, and we can have some fun. We'll go get some dubs in squads or duos, and yeah, let's do it. TexasGator14.
Man, I was actually on, before I came up here, me and my wife and one of my buddies... playing some squads. Dude, we had it down to we had three, they had two, and we couldn't pull it off. couldn't clutch it.
Man, so the squad I play with, we get close in every game we play. We just don't finish, and I'm part of the reason because I'm bad at the game. I'm part of the we for some reason just can't finish the job more than half the time, and it's really annoying.
I do have to say a little history has been made here because of you and I both on the pod. My first ever squad win came with you and some of your friends.
Yes, sir.
That is one of my only, you know what? That's my only console win. I have a couple mobile wins.
You're kidding me. That's your only console
That's
win?
My only console All right. win.
We got to play some this week, and we'll get you some more dubs.
I thought I was going to walk in here with a win from our squad match earlier. I was really disappointed. And we eventually had it down then. We had two, and there was one there, and I knew I'd already had some shots on him, and we couldn't finish him off. Gosh, I was so mad.
It dampers the rest of your night.
And I almost threw the controller. I know it's a video game, but it's so frustrating.
It gets frustrating. That'll do it for Can I Get a Podcast Episode 5. Chris, really fun. We got some baseball talk finally. I'm glad we finally got some baseball talk in there.
Yeah, me too. And it's going to get to the point where once NBA offseason dies down, probably going to be a lot of baseball.
A lot of baseball. Lots of college football for all you college football fans out there.
Yes, we are both big college football guys. So that is going to be once September rolls around. It's going to be heavy in college football. We might be even picking some games and keeping score.
Oh, yeah. We got Big 12 media days next week, too.
Oh, yes. That is coming up. Jeffrey, as we close out the pod here, why don't you throw out your Twitter handle for the people?
@jcoopjr27.
And what's your burner account?
Don't have a burner account.
You do have a burner account.
We're
going to figure it out. I told you I was going to find it. I haven't started on that yet, but I am going to find the burner account. You can find me on Twitter @ChrisIsGross, KRISISGROSS. And you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple iTunes. Or if you are not an Apple iTunes guy, you don't have Apple Podcasts, an easy way to do it, just head on over to KESN1033.com. Click on the audio tab on the top, I believe it is. And our podcast is right there. So two easy ways to find the pod.
Tell your friends, tell your uncles, tell your cousins, tell your nephews and nieces.
And I think one time, didn't you say, tell your ex-wife?
And your ex-wife.
Tell your ex-wife, too. So spread the pod, and that'll do it for today. So for Jeffrey Cooperstein, I'm Chris Gross. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks.